This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون. The continuation of the series of the khutab of Bay'at al-Aqaba, of the pledge or the Bay'a of al-Aqaba that occurred during the 12th year of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's prophecy, I have shared with you the first two articles of that pledge. And today I'm going to talk about the third article of the pledge, maintaining that the purpose of this series and the purpose of me talking about this topic is that as the Ansar were granted the opportunity to do this, and they did it, And the consequences of them doing this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming to their city, entering their lives, and for them to become becoming a part of his story alaihi salatu wasalam, and a central part of his ummah. For us to hope to be at the, of the same status, or for us to hope to follow in those footsteps and to be a part of his legacy alayhi salatu wasalam, a central part of his ummah, then we have to also offer that which the Ansar offered themselves. Or else there's going to be something, there's going to be a problem with justice and fairness. If the Ansar had to offer this pledge in order for them to be granted what they were granted in their lives with him alayhi salatu wasalam, then we have to do the same, at least the same, if we hope to get the same. If we want the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Islam to be a central part of our lives, and for us to belong to this ummah truly. So on the Day of Judgment, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam calls upon his ummah and says, "Ummati, my nation, that you are going to be considered amongst that group," then you have to offer this. You have to offer these five articles, and you have to perform your bay'ah with Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. He is not here for physically to do it with him, but you can do it all the same. And the first article was the sam'a wa ta'a, was the adherence and followership of his teachings alayhi salatu wasalam, for better or for worse, when it's easier, when it's difficult. And the second article was committing your wealth, al-infaqu fi yusri al-usr. And the third article that I'm going to share with you today, al-amru bil-ma'rufi wa nahyu 'anil munkar. He asked for this alayhi salatu wasalam. He asked for their commitment to reforming values, reforming social values. And I have to explain this a little bit, because it's important to understand the difference between da'wah and between amr al-ma'ruf and nahy al-munkar. There's overlap for sure, but there's a difference that makes this term in the Quran very specific in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to point out to us. And if you follow it in the Quran, you'll find it. And the ayah that I shared with you at the beginning of this khutbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kuntum khayra ummah," you are the best nation ever presented to humanity. The best nation that followed prophets, that was presented to the human race, was the nation the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam presented, was the people who are with him. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the time to explain to us why that is the case, what was the reason that, of their khayriyah, of that description of being the best ummah, he said, "Ta'muruna bil ma'roofi wa tanhawna al munkar." And then he said, "Wa tu'minuna billah." He made it third. He made the iman billah third to these two topics. And there's something obviously in that for us to learn. And this is why it's important to talk about this topic. And the Ansar who were listening to him alayhi salatu wasalam asked for al-amr al-ma'ruf and nahy al-munkar, understood, because these terms linguistically were clear to Arab. The concept of al-ma'ruf and al-munkar was very clear to every Arabi person. They knew what it meant. So they knew what he was asking for, alayhi salatu wasalam. I feel like it's not as clear to us today. And I want to make sure that it is. That's why in the same surah, he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّتُنْ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ يَدْعُونَ لِلْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And may there be amongst you people who will call to that which is good, and they'll perform أمر المعروف النهي عن المنكر. So what does it mean? المعروف والمنكر are two concepts. They're phrases that have a social definition. They have a social definition. They're understood socially. In Islam, al-urf or al-ada has importance. I mean, what the norm of the people is has importance. It's not always right, but it has importance. It has weight in how you're going to be addressing things socially and how Islam is going to be seen within a society. So when you come to a society, you have to know what their ma'ruf and what their munkar is. And what part of their ma'ruf you agree with, and what part of their munkar you agree with, and the opposite. What do they call ma'ruf that you don't call ma'ruf? What do they call munkar that you don't call munkar? Because when it's different, when you actually don't agree, then that's where reform comes in. And that's where we actually have to start challenging. And when we agree, that is where we come and we emphasize and we reinforce the good that they have. That being said, we have to differentiate these terms from the term of someone, for example, who's not praying and not fasting. Now, it is not praying a munkar. It is in the general term, in the general understanding of the word. But to be accurate, not praying is a kabira. It's a musibah. It's a masiyah. Munkar is something that is similar but a little bit different, because munkar is a social behavior. It's a social behavior that society has an opinion on. And it's something that affects society at large. Your rituals are ma'asi, they are kaba'ir when they are left, or they're not done appropriately. And that has to be addressed, and that will be addressed via da'wah. That's what da'wah is for. Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi al-Munkar is a social movement. It's the social aspect of the Islamic movement. There's a social aspect to how Islam functions, where it comes and it looks at values. And it reinforces the values that are agreed upon to be good, and it challenges the ones that are not agreed upon. It challenges the one that the society in front of you does not necessarily take seriously or agree with you in the way that you see it. This is very important. That's why I'm choosing my words carefully, so you understand what I'm talking about at the end of it. Because I'm not saying that we don't perform da'wah. Da'wah is going to be performed, and we're going to talk about that in these articles later. It's very important. But da'wah has an art to it. There's a way of doing it. There are certain things that we have to respect in how we do it and how we approach people. But Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar is different. It's a different thing altogether. That's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to define munafiqeen, He said, Al-munafiquna wal-munafiqatu ba'duhum min ba'd. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَقْبِضُونَ أَيْدِيَهُمْ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. The munafiqeen are all from one another. They command al-munkar, and they discourage ma'ruf, and they hold back their wealth. They go against two articles of the five. They go against two of the five articles. That's how they're defined in the Quran, that they're being the problem. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam from a perspective of other faiths, he said, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر ويحل لهم الطيبات ويحرم عليهم الخبائث ويضع عنهم إصرهم والأغلال التي كانت عليهم. When the Quran defines for people who are non-Muslim or people who came before Muslims who the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was going to be, النبي الأمي, the Quran described him as يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر. Starting with the social values and how they were going to be command, the good was going to be reinforced and the bad was going to be reinforced, and that which went against the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to be reformed. Every prophet, if you go to the Quran, every prophet has a story of reform. Meaning this challenge of Ibrahim was different than the challenge of Lut, different than the challenge of Shu'aib, different from the challenge of Musa, alayhi salam. They all had unique challenges where they had to come and perform and actually achieve reform. They had to, يَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Why is this an article? Why does this matter? Because it's not popular. Because it's not popular. It makes you, it takes away your popularity immediately. The moment you start pointing out that's not okay. And that has to stop. And you actually start pushing it. This is why the hadith that we have, the hadith that is in the Sahih, especially a Muslim, and parts of it in Bukhari as well, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, you know this hadith, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِمَانِ. He said munkar. He didn't say ma'asiyah. He is very accurate, alayhi salatu wasalam, in his wordings here. Because you're not going to change a ma'asiyah biyadik most of the time. Someone who is sinning, I don't have the authority to go and change their ma'asiyah with my hand. That's why the hadith is talking about munkar. But munkar I do. See, munkar, for example, a ma'ruf that exists in this community is that people respect lines. They stand in line. They stand in line. And the person who comes in late stands in line. Have you been to a Middle Eastern country? Have you ever seen a line? I have never stood in the line. I lived there for most of my life. Not once did I stand in the line. It is the norm that you enter and you shove and you push and you elbow people. And if you have someone that knows you up front, then immediately nepotism plays in and you find your way up front. It's the norm. It's a bad norm. It's a munkar. It's a munkar that the society over there does not see as munkar. And Muslims will have to actually fight against, right? Here, it's a ma'ruf, standing in line. So if someone breaks the line, هذا munkar, right? This is a munkar. And you have to change with your hand. You go and you intervene personally. Nope, this is not happening. Why? Because the moment we stop pushing against munkar and we stop emphasizing ma'ruf, the values of society begin to dissolve. And then ethics are gone. And then society is ruined. You see, Muslims were like that. 1,000 years ago, we didn't have this problem. You didn't go to buy khubz and feel that you were preparing for war. And feel that you were victorious when you walked away with it. It wasn't like that. No, people respected one another. They stood in line. We lost that because we lost this aspect of the way we behaved. We stopped pointing out. You see a younger person standing there smoking, that's munkar. That's munkar. You go and you point, nope, that's not okay. This is a minor. He shouldn't be doing that.
Today, anyone who gets involved in other people's business is immediately called a name and seen as something negative. Not all the time is that negative. Yes, you have your privacy in this world, but that privacy ends and that personal freedom ends when you are challenging good values, good social values. When you are trying to ruin with your behavior social values, then someone, we have to intervene. Now, if you don't pray, that's your problem. That's your akhirah. We will perform da'wah with you. We will come and talk to you about it. And we'll remind you. And if you're not doing siyam, and if you're not, these are your personal rituals. It's a musibah that you're not doing them, but that's going to affect only you. But when you ruin ma'ruf and munkar, when ma'ruf stops being ma'ruf, and munkar stops being munkar, then nothing is left. There's no room for Islam to be practiced anyways. Because the deen is going to be lost completely. Which is why the Prophet ﷺ asked for this article. I'm going to need you to do this. I'm not going to come and say, "Into Halloween, you guys are good. Everything you're doing is good. Keep status quo." No, I'm going to come and I'm going to challenge you. And I'm going to look at your ma'ruf and munkar and see if they're right or not. And if they're not right, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to actually command that which is great. And I'm going to discourage and command to leave that which is not. And you may not agree with it or like it. And that was hard. Amr ma'ruf and nahy munkar, alcohol. That was a part of that. Right? Because that affects everybody. Drugs is a part of it. So we live in a country where, technically speaking, usage of drug use and alcohol is not something that people emphasize or encourage. It's socially amongst people accepted, but the government doesn't look at it that way. Meaning, the way that it's talked about on formal platforms is that this is something that's negative. That's in keeping with our values. As Muslims, we have to push that even farther because it's a munkar that we agree with, so we push against. But then they have other stuff. And then they have issues of fawahish that they don't see to be munkar anymore. They see the fahisha and they don't see it to be munkar. It's not munkar. It's ma'ruf. Two people hook up, they go sleep together for a couple of years. No zawaj, there's no problem. No, there's a problem. That's munkar. Because that affects how society functions. That affects how people see themselves. That affects how people build relationships, how families are built. So we have to speak up against this. We didn't for so long that now we're in the defensive position. Where we're just trying to prevent the tsunami of social value changes from wiping out our own ma'ruf and munkar. We're scared for our own definitions now. Because we did not immediately come to society and say, this is ma'ruf and this is munkar, we want you to change these things. We're going to talk about them. This type of behavior is unacceptable. We didn't do that, so now we're barely able to hold on to our own ma'ruf and our own munkar anymore. Because we made a mistake. We made a fundamental mistake that the Prophet ﷺ said very clearly. No. We're going to Amr. I need you to do Amr al-Ma'ruf nahy al-Munkar. They understood. The Ansar understood. And yeah, okay. Yeah, slavery, it has to be frowned upon. And it was. People have to be freed. The Arab didn't like that. Yeah. Domestic abuse had to stop. And women had rights. And they were able to choose their spouses. And they inherited. And they worked. And they owned their own wealth. It wasn't like that before Islam. It wasn't. If you don't know the history of the peninsula, go read it. It's really simple. It's very simple. There's not a lot of difference of opinion of how things function in Arabia pre-Islam. The pre-Islamic era was very clear how people behaved. The Prophet's main reason for other tribes not to like him and not to want to be a part of him is because of the Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar piece. Exactly like today, they would tell him, just don't touch this one. Don't do this. Can you not talk about this piece? Can you not get involved with our wealth? Don't even get involved with how we treat our youth, or treat our slaves, or treat our women, or treat. Don't get involved with that piece. Can you not touch that piece? They told him this, alayhi salam, in Mecca, before Medina, they told him this. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, we'll accept Islam." Imagine in Mecca, Abu Jahl and Uqba and Walid and all these, they said, "We'll accept Islam, we'll be Muslim." Ya la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar. Finally, just one condition. We don't sit with the slaves. Like Bilal, Ammar, Suhaib, they sit alone, we sit alone. Small, no, absolutely not. This is not, no, absolutely not. Why? Because this is a social value. I refuse. We are equal. This is the ma'ruf that we carry. That human beings are equal. Doesn't matter where we come from, what color of skin you carry, or your lineage, or how much money you have. It makes no difference for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this messenger, or for Muslims. We all stand here as equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the ma'ruf that we hold on to. So the Prophet alayhi salam was not about to remove his ma'ruf and change it into munkar just to please people. But ya Rasulullah, the leaders of Mecca are going to accept your deen. That doesn't matter. I don't care. You accept Islam as it is. You don't get to come and change things. Yeah. لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم، ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون، كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه لبئس ما كانوا يفعلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the disbelievers from Bani Israel were cursed on the tongue of Dawood and Isa. And the reason that the Quran points out is that كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه. They will see munkar and they wouldn't do anything about it. They wouldn't say that, no, that we shouldn't be doing that. That's not okay. You can't speak to people like that. You can't treat others like that. You can't behave that way. That's not okay. You are disrespecting others and you are ruining societal values that we carry. You're not allowed to do that. They let it go. Why? Because the person is known, or they're wealthy, or they're popular, or people just don't care. Just don't care, or they don't have time, or they're scared of consequences. You don't want to be unpopular and, you know, be butting into people's business. Well, enjoy that. Enjoy a society where there's no ma'ruf and munkar anymore. A society where there's no definition of what is right and what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. And there's no movements of reinforcing the good and stopping the bad. It doesn't exist anymore. And it's just this big chaotic mix of a melt pot of garbage, because there's nothing, because we are all too scared to point out that that's not okay and that has to change. And then those who do it, they do it with no ilm. And then this is another problem, obviously, that I know. Those who end up saying this, they don't have the proper knowledge or the proper understanding of things, and they don't know what exactly is ma'ruf and what exactly is munkar, and then they say whatever they want and they make it even worse. So we're struggling on this front because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam asked for this article, he asked for it. And we're in a society where there's a lot of munkar, there's a lot of ma'ruf as well. And as Muslims, we have to be in line with that ma'ruf, and we have to push back against that munkar, and we have to do it societally. Collectively, communally, we have to do it, or else we lose our own identity. And you know that no one on earth knows that more than you. You as a Muslim Canadian, no one knows that more on earth. Like no one, no Muslim on earth can talk about this with more clarity without needing any education than you, because you feel it. You're like, I am now, I can't say certain things. I can't even use certain adjectives. I can't even normalize what is normal. I can't point out something that is absolutely filthy and say that is disgusting and unacceptable. No, I can't say that anymore because it's acceptable now. It's ma'ruf. I am munkar. My thought process now is munkar. Enjoy. How is anything going to survive? How are ethics going to survive? How is Islam? How are we going to survive? We have to maintain that peace. He knew it was difficult, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is why he asked for it. This is why the Ansar thought about him, like, oh, so we're going to have to get a little more active on this front. Yeah, you're going to have to get more active on this front. And they were willing. And they offered their bay'ah, as we should. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ يَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. أخواني وأخواتي، البند الثالث من بنود بيعة العقبة أمرهم أو سألهم أو طلب منهم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وبايعوه على الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، وهذان اللفظان لفظان اجتماعيان لهما وجود واصطلاح في الشرع لا، يعني لا شك، لكنهما في الأصل معان اجتماعية. فالذنب والإثم هذه قضايا شرعية متعلقة بالعلاقة بينك وبين الله، ولها تعامل خاص، أي نتعامل معها بالدعوة إلى الله. لكن هنا إذا ما قال الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، هو لا يقصد بالتحديد الدعوة، وإن كانت الدعوة مشمولة تحتها لا شك، لكن المقصود بهذا الكلام هو معالجة الفساد القيمي الموجود في المجتمع. إذا كانت هناك قيم فاسدة في المجتمع أو قيم جيدة، المسلم يقوي ويأمر يعني بالقيم الطيبة المباركة وينهى عن القيم السيئة الرذيلة. فالمسلم أينما دخل في أي مجتمع وأي مكان ينظر ويقيم ما هي القيم الطيبة التي عندهم وما هي القيم السيئة، فيقوي تلك القيم المباركة وينهى عن تلك القيم السيئة وينافسها ويتحدث عنها ويتحداها ويدفعها. فإن تركتها يا أخي، إذا تركنا هذه القيم، فالقيم يعني تنتشر شيئا فشيئا كالسرطانات. فإذا تركت القيم السيئة ولم تتحداها وتدفعها بيمينك، فإن لم تستطع فبلسانك، فإن لم تستطع فبقلبك، فقريبا جدا تأخذ هذه القيمة، هذه القيمة ما عندك، تحتلك أنت وتحتل بيتك، وتدخل في عقر دارك، وتدخل في عقول وقلوب أولادك وبناتك. وعندها ما فيش حلول لأننا قصرنا في توضيح المعروف وتوضيح المنكر. Any Muslim person or a Muslim community, if they come to a society, what they do is they analyze what are their good values or their bad values, socially speaking. And then they reinforce the good values. And they are champions of the good values, just like us. We came, we found an organized society where people respect, stand in line and they drive properly and they stop at, and we, alhamdulillah, right? Everyone, we're champions of that, aren't we? Muslims are champions of that in every community. We're the ones who are always keeping the, yeah, standing in line perfectly, driving, following the law, aren't we? That's what we do. We came, we found law and order for at last, after living for years with chaos. We came, we found the Islamic way of living, where it's law, everyone respects the law. And we did that, didn't we? We all followed the law. We still do. We reinforced that. Did you send the problem? The problem to come and find a good value and then not emphasize it means you didn't understand what your deen is about. You didn't understand. You found a good value that everyone follows, and then you didn't emphasize it. You didn't champion it. You actually went against it. Listen, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمُنْكَرِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَقْبِضُونَ أَيْدِيَهُمْ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. This is a scary topic. It really is, because it's so central to our behaviors. When we come, we find bad. We have values that are bad. We find people who don't understand hishma. They don't understand it for chastity. And we, of course, we immediately stayed away from that. We pointed out how this needs to change. We didn't involve ourselves at all. No Muslim young men got involved in that stuff or enjoyed it or followed it. No, they didn't. How do we expect things to work out for us? If there's an article that Ansar gave their bay'ah to Rasulullah alayhi wasallam about, and we don't even consider an issue. It's not even a thing. We carry our values with pride as Muslims, with pride. We hold on to our values with our lives. We protect our values with our lives, individually and collectively. And we will openly speak of the values that we carry. And we will. And if you agree with me on my value, then you and I together will push it forward. And if we disagree, I will push back against you, because this is the value that I believe in. It's not an issue of convenience. It's not a choice that I made. It's not something that I can compromise or maybe meet you halfway. This is a value. This is something that defines me. It's a social value that defines the way we lived. All the prophets had to do this. And all the prophets were ostracized and went into exile and were killed and kicked out of their homes because they challenged the status quo. They challenged the values. They said no. وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. No. Shu'aib said no. We're not going to do this. We're not going to act like that. Lut came and said, no, we're not behaving like that. That's not okay. So that's what happened. You have to be willing to do that. That requires obviously knowledge, and it requires wisdom, and it requires finesse. So I'm not getting y'all to go start yelling at each other outside about what you think needs to change. But we have to start, because another ma'ruf is labaqa and adab, is etiquette. It's etiquette. You come to a place where people speak nicely to each other, some politeness. Isn't that how he was, alayhi salatu wasalam? People weren't screaming at each other. There was no, yeah, that's something else we need to go back to. Another value that we don't necessarily hold the way we should. And that's what they offered their bay'ah for him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's what we have to offer. The plan, inshallah, moving forward for Jumu'ah next week will be at 2 o'clock. So there'll be around 40 minutes. Earliest will be like 35 or 34 minutes until Asr. So we'll keep the khutbah short to the point where we can finish the khutbah. Pray Jumu'ah a few minutes until Asr so you can pray your sunnah. We'll make adhan al-Asr, and then we'll pray Asr right after. Like, we'll do sunnah and then Asr. So if you come, you'll end up praying Jumu'ah and then praying Asr and then leaving afterwards. That's the plan moving forward. I'm doing this as a service for the community, because there are no late Jumu'ahs in the city. The latest is 1:30. There's nothing after that. So we're trying to make something a little bit later for people who can't make it because of their jobs or for whatever other reasons, inshallah, for you high school students to make it and university students as well. Just as something, inshallah, as an extra service for the community. So that's just as a way of putting it, inshallah ta'ala. We will continue with this series moving forward. I may end up talking about this topic next week a little bit more, but I do ask everyone here to reflect a little bit on what this means. There's a lot of more pieces of evidence that I want to share with you and what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, what the Quran said. But take some time to think about this, because this is a central part of it defines our deen very, very heavily. And I don't think we fully understand what it means. I don't think we sometimes restrict it just to rituals. Someone is not dressed, came to the masjid and had a tattoo or wasn't dressed. And no, leave it. These are personal ritual choices. It requires dawah. Dawah is different. We'll talk about doing dawah. There are ways to do dawah appropriately. Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar is different. This is where someone is ruining social values. They are challenging the values of society. And if this is a good value, then we have to defend it. And if it's a bad value, we have to help get rid of it because the tsunami of bad values will one day overtake all of us. And that's how Yawm al-Qiyamah happens. Yawm al-Qiyamah happens when the bad values become so widespread that there's no voice, there's no room for the good values to be heard anymore, and people slowly lose them all. And no one knows who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and no one knows what hishma and iffa and sidq and aman, these words are washed away and they don't exist anymore. We're at a moment in our history where we have to defend the values that define us. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ أَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنْ أَزْوَاجِهِ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَعَنْ آلِهِ الطَّيِّبِينَ الطَّاهِرِينَ وَعَنْ صَحَابَتِهِ الْغُرِّ الْمَيَامِينَ وَعَنِ التَّابِعِينَ وَمَنْ تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين. اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين. أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين وارزقنا أجمعين فيه صلاة قبل الممات. اللهم احقن دماء إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان. احقن دماءهم في غزة ولبنان والسودان وميانمار وغيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين. اللهم تب علينا أجمعين توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم.